Wednesday, October 30th, 2013, at 6 p.m. Come to order at this time. I'll have a roll call, please.
Karen Ward here.
Greg Jones. Mr. Martinez.
Kathy Egan.
And the mayor's here.
Just because it's a hearing, why don't you get the staff that's here, which is on the record. Okay. We have some other staffers here tonight that you might introduce also.
We'll start on this side for staff.
Ashley Williams, Utility Billing Specialist.
Sharon Smith, Legal Counsel.
Rick Allen, Interim City Manager.
Deborah McMahon, City Planning Director.
Okay, thank you.
We have another person not even sits with the firm. He can introduce himself.
Garrett Kressler.
Garrett's an associate in our law firm.
Thank you.
He's doing a lot of city. More city work, so you might see him more. So I want to make sure you all know who he is.
At this time, I would ask you to follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public hearing on appeal to county land use decision, DR 13-19, and I will open the hearing at this time. I also have an explanation of the proceedings. Preliminary statement and land use action hearings on appeals before the council. This is a hearing on the Urbank Declaratory Ruling County File DR 13-19. A ruling that shows the Urbank proposal for the Sportsman Smokehouse could not meet the criteria for a Type 1 home occupation and was denied. Mr. Urbank appealed the county decision of denial, and the City Council of Lapine called the decision up for review and to process the appeal. Burden of proof and applicable criteria. The applicant, appellant, has the burden of proving that he, she, is entitled to the land use approval sought. Standards applicable to the applications before us are as follows. Title 22, Deschutes County Development Procedures Ordinance. Chapter 22.40, Declaratory Ruling. Declaratory Ruling. Section 22.40.010, Availability of Declaratory Ruling. Section 22.40.020, persons who may apply. Section 22.40.030, procedures. Section 22.40.040, effect of declaratory ruling. Section 22.4.050, interpretation. Title 18, Deschutes County Zoning Ordinance. Chapter 18.04, title, purpose, and definition section. 18.04.030, definitions. Chapter 18.60, Rural Residential Zone, RR10 section, 18.60.020, uses permitted outright. Chapter 18.116, supplementary provisions section, 18.116.280, home occupations. Hearing procedure. The procedures applicable to this hearing provide that the City Council will hear testimony, receive evidence, and consider the testimony, evidence, and information submitted into the record on appeal, as well as that evidence constituting the record in the prior proceeding. The record as developed to this point is available for public review at this hearing. Testimony and evidence at this hearing must be directed toward the criteria set forth in the notice of this hearing and listed in this statement. There's 9 items. Testimony may be directed to any other criteria in the comprehensive land use plan of the city or land use regulations which any person believes applies to this decision. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the council and the parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. The failure of the applicant to raise a constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the council to respond to the issue precludes the applicant from pursuing an action for damages in circuit court. Order of presentation. The hearing will be conducted in the following order. The staff will give a report of the prior proceedings and the issues raised by the applications on appeal. The applicant will then have an opportunity to make a presentation and offer testimony and evidence. Opponents will then be given a chance to make a presentation. After both proponents and opponents have made a presentation, the proponents will be allowed to make a rebuttal presentation at the council's discretion. Opponents may be recognized for a rebuttal presentation. At the conclusion of this hearing, the staff will be afforded an opportunity to make any closing comments. The council may limit the time provided for presentations. Questions to and from the council may be entertained at any time at the council's discretion. Cross-examinations of witnesses will not be allowed. However, if any person wishes a question be asked of any person during that person's presentation, please direct such questions to the council after being recognized. The council is free to decide whether or not to ask such questions of the witness. Pre-hearing contacts. I will now direct a question to the other members of the council. If any member of the council, including myself, has had any pre-hearing contacts, now is the time to state the substance of those pre-hearing contacts so that all persons present at this hearing can be fully advised of the nature and context of these contacts and with whom contact was made. Are there any contacts that need to be disclosed? Kathy?
No.
Sue?
Just any clear, is that phone calls or?
Yeah, what's important here is two things. Obviously, before you became aware of the appeal and the issue, there were discussions in the community about this topic. And you're not expected to forecast that there would be an appeal. But if you did have discussions about the issue, you should generally describe what those discussions were. After you became aware of the appeal, if you had discussions with anyone about this issue, you need to be more specific about the context, where this occurred, the items discussed, and any comments that you provided in that discussion. So I expect that some of you have had some comments with people before this ever became an appeal, but what I'm most concerned about is anything that would have occurred after you became aware that an appeal had been filed.
What's that? You don't need to worry about it, it doesn't matter.
That's work.
So,
before the appeal, there were some telephone conversations, general conversations. But after the appeal was made, I had no other conversation. Is that what you're
yes.
looking
for?
Okay.
None
from Karen, and none from myself. At this time, do any members of the council need to set forth the substance of any ex parte observations or facts of which the body should take notice concerning this appeal? And I think they have. Any person in the audience has the right during the hearing process to rebut the substance of any communications or observations that have been placed in the record. Challenges for bias, prejudgment, or personal interest. Any party prior to the commencement of the hearing may challenge the qualifications of the council or any member thereof of bias, prejudgment, or personal interest. This challenge must be documented with specific reasons supported by facts. I will accept challenges now. Should any council member be challenged, the member may disqualify himself or herself, withdraw from the hearing, or make a statement on the record of their capacity to hear the appeal. Hearing no challenges, I shall proceed. And we'd like to call the staff report at this time.
For the record, my name is Deborah McMahon, Planning Director for the City of LaPine. And in this particular application, which is DR 1319. It is a declaratory ruling that the council called up to review, and that means you will be the ones deciding whether the county appropriately applied the criteria and make a decision on this particular appeal. Before staff took a look at this particular situation, we had attended several meetings with Deschutes County staff where we examined the question of whether this application would meet the criteria for a type 1 home occupation. And we had a teleconference with the people in the Deschutes County Building Department, Health Department, the applicant, the county staff. Rick and I were there, and we talked about all kinds of options for this particular home occupation. At that time, the county community development director decided to do what is before you tonight, which is look at a declaratory ruling to examine the facts in the matter to see if all those facts supported a type 1 home occupation. And so tonight what we're going to do is take a look at what the county did. For a type 1 home occupation, it does not require a permit. It doesn't require a conditional use permit. Doesn't require a special land use permit. There are plenty of building permits and health permits that are required. But for this particular type of home occupation, there are 15 criteria, and I'm going to go through those because that's what the county did. They went through these, and in your packet, you'll see how they responded to each of those criteria. What they came up with was a decision of denial, that the applicant's particular proposal just didn't meet all of the requirements. So the first requirement is does not require minimum parcel size. So that's fine. It doesn't require minimum parcel size. You move on to the next one. Is the use conducted within a dwelling or a residential accessory structure only by the residents of the dwelling? And the county went through and addressed that particular criteria and felt that for the most part, even though we understand that there may be people coming in occasionally, but the home occupation for the smokehouse was only going to be conducted by residents of the dwelling. The third criteria was, does it occupy more than 25% of the combined floor area of the dwelling, including the attached garage and one accessory structure? And the county planner determined that based on how they go through the criteria that it exceeded 25% of those square footages. The appellant tonight is going to contradict that, and when his presentation comes forward, you'll hear his analysis of that. Criteria four, that there are no more than five vehicle trips to the site per day for customers or clients, including parcel delivery services. And the evidence in the record shows that the appellant or applicant said there would be 5 to 6 trips, and because it was over 5, the county staff said, well, you don't meet that criteria, it's over 5. Number 5 is the fifth criteria, may include employees or contractors that work off-site, and the county staff determined that that wasn't an issue. Criteria 6, does not produce prolonged odor, dust, glare, flashing lights, noise, smoke, and vibrations in excess of that created by normal residential use. The important thing here for a home occupation is that it doesn't look any different than the residences in the zone. So if you're going through a residential neighborhood, you shouldn't have any external evidence that there's something different there than a residence. In this particular case, the county staff found that there was smoke in excess of what you might expect in a residential neighborhood. The appellant tonight will go through some comment about how his smoking operation works, and during my site visit, I observed the smoker being outside of the structure, and it was on for a period of time. It does have smoke that comes out of the smoker and then heat that comes out. And then during the smoking operation to refuel the smoker, chips or other material may be added. And that's something you want to be talking about tonight, is how does that smoker actually work? And it's important to know those features, because the county said it was just too much, didn't meet the requirements. Criteria 7, does not involve the on-site advertisement, display, or sale and stocking trade other than vehicle or trailer signage. And there isn't any on-site advertisement, so that criteria was not an issue. Criteria 8, does not include building or ground-mounted signs. I saw no signs, I saw no proposal for signs, and there wasn't anything in the record to indicate that there would be on-site signage. Criteria 9, does not include outside storage of equipment or materials used in the operation of the home occupation. The smoker in this case is outside of the structure, so there is a device that is outside of the structure. The county said that there was nothing outside of the structure and that this criteria was met, but if the smoker's outside, this criteria cannot be met. So I want to bring that forward. Criteria 10, has adequate access and on-site parking for not more than one customer or delivery vehicle at any given time. I parked in the driveway. There was plenty of driveway space. It's over an acre lot. There was no issue with this, and the county found that this was not a problem either. Criteria 11 allows on-site business-related vehicle or truck not exceeding 15,000 pounds gross vehicle weight, and one other non-motorized wheeled equipment trailer, which shall not exceed 3,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. In this particular case, we're not going to have those kinds of trucks on site. Any delivery vehicle like UPS or the shop that delivers the fat products wouldn't be a problem in this case either. Criteria 12, complies with all requirements of the Deschutes County Building Safety Division, Environmental Health Division, and any other applicable state or federal laws. Compliance with the requirements of the Deschutes County Building Safety Division shall include meeting all building occupancy classification requirements of the state adopted building code. You should be aware that this issue came forward because the structure where the smokehouse would operate does not have permits. And in order to get building permits and health permits and state permits, you have to have a land use compliance letter that you meet the land use requirements. If you can't meet the land use requirements because you're exceeding the threshold for a type 1 home occupation, you're going to have extreme difficulty and you will be denied in getting those other building permits needed to make everything legal. Right now, the structure and the operation doesn't have those permits. Criteria 13, that the home occupation is conducted in such a way that it is compatible with the residential character or in resource zones, resource-oriented character of its location. We don't need to worry about the second half of that criteria because it's not a resource zone, but we do need to worry about whether it's compatible with the residential character. And if you read through the county's analysis, they felt that several of the tests or criteria could not be met. Therefore, they concluded it didn't match up with the residential character of the area. Criteria 14, does not involve any external changes to the dwelling in which the home occupation will be established that would give the dwelling an outward appearance of a business. In this particular case, the home faces Doe Lane. There's a large shop to the left of the structure along Burgess. And behind the home, screened by the shed in the home, is the smokehouse operation. You can't see it from the road. You'd be very hard-pressed to crane your head around to see any evidence of it. So I see it that it's screened. And then criteria 15 allows for servicing, inspecting, loading, and or dispatching of vehicles and equipment incidental to the home occupation and stored within the dwelling, attached garage, or accessory structure. And that particular criteria was met or not necessary to be met. So when we went through all of the things that the county did and how they approached addressing the criteria with the information that they had, the city staff supports the denial and recommends that you uphold that decision because everything that they had before them was reviewed in the proper context. The appeal document that was filed did not provide me any information that's related to the criteria. And keep in mind, we have to just simply address the land use criteria. We can't use anything else or anything less because all of these criteria must be met. And if they all can't be met, then the denial is appropriate. In my site visit, I saw some things that made me think about, okay, what could happen here if a type 1 was truly met? And we know, because based on the staff report and the report I gave you, that the size is too big, that would have to be reduced, and that would be pretty tough to do in this situation because of the pre-existing nature of the smokehouse. We know that trips would have to be 5 or less. That could be controlled by the applicant because it's an on-call operation. But the other things with the smoker being outside, with the size of the operation, can't be met. And because those items are not going to meet the criteria that's required to be met, that's why we recommend the denial be upheld. At this point, do you have any questions of me?
Council?
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have one other thing that needs to be entered into evidence. The county, because they were the applicant on the declaratory ruling, agreed to extend the 120-day clock until January 31st, 2014, in case we need more time to deal with the issue. So that's before us tonight, and I'll put that in the record.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'd like to ask the appellants for their comments.
My wife's going to have an operation on Friday, so she's just going to sit there.
That's right.
Okay.
I need to state my name or something here.
Sure.
All right. My name is Kevin Urbank, owner, partner, whatever, of the Sportsman Smokehouse. Okay, the first is, I feel that the, let me see, does not occupy more than 25% of the combined floor area of the dwelling, including attached garage and one accessory structure. Okay, the accessory structure on my property is 35 by 60, which is 2,100 square feet. The house is 1140. Combined, it's 3240 square feet. A quarter of that is 810 square feet. Our shop is only 618. As far as the dust and the prolonged odor and stuff, our smoker is outside, but it's underneath of a carport area. There's an overhang. And if I had the smoker inside the shop would be full of smoke. And even if you did have it inside and you vented it out, the smoke would have to go somewhere and have to go outside. I had it running full blast when Miss McMahon showed up. As we walked around her, I asked her, I said, "Do you smell this?" And what did she say? She said no.
Are you, Do you want me to respond or wait?
No, wait.
Anyhow, I asked her and she said, I don't smell a thing. We walked all the way around and the thing was running full blast. Most of the smoke stays inside of the smoker. That's how it works. And there's only like a little bit of smoke that comes out. Unless you open up all the vents and everything, and then sure, everything's going to be smoking. But in order to get the smoke flavor in your sausage, you leave the doors closed and adjust your vents accordingly. As far as the smoke, I have pictures of my smoker. Can I show them?
Sure.
This is a smoker right here. As you see, it sits underneath the carport. And that smoke goes up, and by the time it gets past this little structure right there, it's already dissipated and you don't even smell it. When this McMahon was here at our site, she's a witness to this in our property that we have to deal with every other weekend, and they're complaining about smoke. And they'll sit there and smolder for the next week. The only reason it's not smoking now is because we had a big rainstorm. And I had to call the fire department in regards to it. I also have signatures from just about everybody on our street except for three, and people in Lapine that welcome our shop.
Remember, any of the things he handed you, we have to put in the record, so don't lose them in your spots when you get
right.
Them back.
Right.
There's no outside storage. And when I was asked about the trips, I just came up with a number off the top of my head. Normally, the most traffic that we get is during the opening day of hunting season. And I just came up with it. She asked me for a number, and I said probably five, maybe six. That's for the whole weekend. The rest of the time, you might get one, maybe two cars during the week, and that is it. As far as big trucks, we have Childers Meat comes maybe once, when we have a bunch of business or whatever, it might come once a week. And it shows up for 15 minutes and leaves to drop off whatever we need. And that's, like I said, once a week. And I would say probably not more than twice a month. But we have more trips with FedEx and UPS on our block from people. And most of those people that are signed on that paper right there didn't even know we had a business. So I don't know what else to say to you guys in regards to this. It meets the colors. It sits in the back. Nobody even knew it was there. I don't know what else to say. That's about it. That's all I can say. We pretty much meet everything.
And do we have the picture of the smoker itself? There we go.
Sorry.
Like I said, with that, there's a like an overhang that comes off the back, and that sets up underneath of it. So there's a roof over the top of it, and the pipe comes out. And there's, like I said, I had it going full blast when she was there, so that she could smell and see, for an example. And she said she didn't smell nothing until we walked around the other side, and there was smoke coming out of the stack. That's about it.
Okay.
That's all, that's all about all I can say, unless there's any other questions.
Any questions?
I was trying to figure out on this square footage thing. What did you say again?
Okay. Our shop, the garage that's on our property that was built there back in the 70s, is 35 by 60, which is 2,100 square feet. Our house that we live in is only 1140. combined, the square footage is 3240. If you divide that by 4, it comes up to 810. That's a quarter of that size. Our shop that we have is only 618, which is way under the quarter.
Can you explain how you got the numbers for the square footage? His numbers are different than what we have on our findings sheet.
Right, and if you look at page 8 of the city staff report, we reiterate what the county decision reviewed, which is criteria 3, which is that the home occupation does not occupy more than 25% of the combined floor area of the dwelling, including attached garage, and one accessory structure.
And the accessory structure is our garage, which is 35 by 60, which is 2,100 square feet. Okay, I'm sorry.
And in this particular case, the county's interpretation is that the accessory structure is the one under review and not an additional garage. They have a detached garage. So you look at the combined floor area of the dwelling, including attached garage. They don't have an attached garage. It's detached. And one accessory structure. And in this case, the smokehouse is what was used. The city's going to stay consistent with that interpretation. We spoke with the county staff, and we feel that the county has had a long history in interpreting this, and it makes sense to support that particular interpretation of that particular criteria.
I'm just confused by his numbers and your numbers.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
But I have to say that the shop is a new structure, considered a new structure. And you wouldn't, I used to have a permit business, and you wouldn't take and use the new structure to use for the square footage. You would use an accessory structure that's already on the property, that's already built there. There's no permits for this shop yet. So how can I use it? I've paid for the permits, they just haven't been issued. So how could they use that? And that's where I'm at with this part.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's about it.
Council, any other questions?
No.
Okay.
I also look, one more thing as I look at too. There, I also see all these other businesses that are in our residential area. On the corner of Antler and Burgess, we have a big, huge welding shop that brings in huge semi-trucks and rock crushers and beats on them and welds on them all night long. We have churches on all four corners, you know. Plus this guy here just doing all the smoking and everything else. And then they're going to complain about the little bit of smoke that comes out of our smoker. Like I said before, nobody's known we've been there until we decided to be legal.
Thank you, Kevin.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Unless there's any other questions.
We're at a point of proponents' comments.
Yes, anybody in the audience who supports it should come up and give
okay.
their testimony.
Anybody in the audience that would like to give testimony in support of the appeal? Hearing none, I would ask opponents' comments. Are there any opponents in the audience that would like to come up? Hearing none, I'll ask the staff for their final staff comments.
In this particular case, we're evaluating whether the county did the proper work in addressing the criteria. You called it up. And so when we go through this criteria, we look at what the county did compared to the staff report that I provided to you in my site visit. And what I find is with the information that was before the county in making their declaratory ruling, whether this particular application was a type 1 home occupation. All the evidence shows that it did not meet those criteria because not all of the criteria could be met. And so at that point in time, we believe the county did the correct thing, and we don't see anything to correct deficiencies in meeting those criteria so that all of them can be met. I didn't have anything else to do that with. And so I feel that the county's staff person who did the write-up for the decision, including their community development director who signed off on it, did the proper thing with the information they had at the time.
Okay. At this time, there's an opportunity for appellant's rebuttal.
I don't got really anything to say other than she just contradicted what she told me out there at the site.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
Are there any...
If they're worried about the trips, I can regulate that part in regards to it. As far as the square footage, I stand where I'm at in regards to this. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Staff, any other comments?
No, except that it's important that when a staff person goes out to make a site visit, in the communications to the applicant, opponent, appellant, whoever it may be, it's my job to explain what the criteria are, what's required to meet a type 1 home occupation. We did discuss that the trips were too high, that the size was ambiguous, but on further discussions with the county and our legal counsel, we believe that the interpretation that the county chose to use is correct. The smoke is one issue which, even though it might be minimized, you can't get past the other criteria that could not be met with the information that was before the county and before the city. So there's a lot of discussion. We always want to be helpful. We support new business and entrepreneurs, but they must meet the land use requirements as they are written. And in this particular case, the city's been very strong about preserving residential areas for residential uses. We know that in Lapine, we're going to have some very big code enforcement issues that come up in the future, so it's important to meet all the criteria now. The applicant must meet those criteria. They may meet them in the future, but today they don't.
Okay. And with that, then I'll close the public hearing. And we will have council deliberation. First comment? Anybody?
Okay, yes. So, Deborah, we are addressing this application and this one only.
Yes.
Okay. Or the county's decision.
Right. That's right.
That's what we're addressing.
You are looking at with you called up the county's decision on the declaratory ruling to review it and process the appeal. And what staff has given you is a recommendation that you uphold the county's decision of denial. We don't have any new evidence that is persuasive enough to tell us that all of the criteria can be met. And that was not the situation before the county when they reviewed it.
Excuse me?
Sorry.
And there isn't anything to tell us that the county did something improperly. There just isn't enough data for us to change that particular position.
Okay, and then down the road after our decision, if they were to go through and correct some of this, what would be the process then?
Type 1 home occupations don't require a permit from land use. So if they meet all the requirements, they reduce the trips, they put the smoker inside because it has to be according to the criteria. And the size of itself is reduced and the smoke is minimized, then they can be considered a type 1. But today, I don't see how they could do that. I think that'd be a tough nut to crack.
Okay, thank you.
We have 9 total deficiencies. Is there 9 items? Was it 9 items that were deficient?
There were 3 that were, 4 that were deficient.
4, okay.
Yeah.
Karen,
I do have some questions, but I don't know whether, well, I'll just go for it. I feel that if you have a neighborhood that is residential and he doesn't meet the requirements of the county, how can he meet any requirements we need? That's my question.
And that's a good question, because you can't get the building permits to make all of the structure compliant, from septic, building, electrical, plumbing, health, and the state ag requirements, if they're required, if you can't get the land use approval approved first. You have to have land use compliance in order to get all of the other permits. The reason for that is you wouldn't want to give permits to somebody who's going to have an illegal use. So that's why this particular declaratory ruling is so important, because it establishes whether the applicant has all the things in order to be a type 1 home occupation. And without those things in place, you can't get the permits to finalize the building for the smokehouse.
It's a chicken or the egg. Normally, you would be doing this process, then you build the building. In this case, the building is there, so that makes it a little more difficult. Sharon, do you want to make any comments?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if, just to add that, if he doesn't qualify for the type 1 home occupation, there are some other options. He could request type 2, which I believe is a conditional use. And yes. So, you know, it's not that if he doesn't meet this, he has no other option. He could submit for conditional use permit and address those criteria. It's the just the going under the type 1 criteria, which doesn't even require a permit, you know, it hasn't been established, if you concur, that he meets those criteria. So if, for example, he decided that he wanted to submit for a type 2 home occupation, then he would have that land use action available to him.
Thank you.
Kathy,
I'm just thinking that even if he could correct a couple of the items, like the trips, it just seems to me that it would also limit any growth potential that he may have, and I think that would be something to consider with the other options that are available. Just not being able to meet all 4.
I would comment. Did you have another comment?
I was just going to say that you know, since we, the city, use the county as our basis for making these reports and findings, I don't know that we can, as a council, say anything different. There's been no, I haven't seen anything proved that all of them can be met, and so I just feel that that's where we, but that I wouldn't want to see. I love new businesses in Lapine. That's awesome, but the findings are the findings.
Okay. I think for myself, I think staff has pointed it out very plainly. this whole issue is around a type 1 home occupation and meeting the criteria for that. I will go off of a little bit of what you said, Greg, in that we use the county as our staff to give us the support we need in an issue like this. And that being the case, they've got the experience, they've done this many times, they've looked at everything, and the staff tonight has explained that there's no compelling change in evidence to rebut that. And with that, I have to say that I think the county's done a thorough, complete job and has come to the point of denying the applicant, and I support the city staff in recommending that we approve that denial.
I agree.
And with that, I would, any other comments? With that, I would entertain a motion that the council deny the appeal.
I so move.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all of those in favor?
Aye.
Aren't you a roll call vote for appeal?
Yeah. It's an appeal, so it's a roll call vote.
Karen Ward, aye.
Greg Jones, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Any opposed? Being none, it's unanimous. The appeal has been denied. Let the record reflect that. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. We're adjourned.